Hi friends, it's Mandy. I will be taking a brief hiatus from the Me Versus You podcast. I've had some health scares over the past few weeks, and I'm going to be okay, but it's going to take a lot of time and energy to be able to move on from what has happened. So I am planning to be back in August. Now, the podcast is still gonna be coming. So Sam's going to have some co-hosts and, do some fun things while I'm gone. So you're gonna have just as much entertainment with probably less fighting, I would imagine. So, keep listening, be good to each other, love each other, and I will talk to you guys in August. Thanks. Bye.
Best friends force each other to watch movies they wouldn't ordinarily pick and then see if they're still friends when it's all over. I'm Sam.
And I'm Kyle.
Are we still friends?
We are indeed.
Yeah.
The best of friends.
Yes. Indubitably.
Yes. In fact, we set a date.
We did. It's very exciting.
We're gonna get married.
Barnum, our dog, is coming in and out of the room.
Oh, and the baby.
And Bailey, too. So, as you have already heard, Mandy is taking a brief hiatus from the podcast. She's had a lot of health things going on, and she really needs to take some time to just kind of relax and take everything in. It's been a big, crazy time of everything that's going on,
Indeed.
and the poor girl's being pulled in like 95 billion
Yeah, she
directions.
just needs to take a break.
Yeah, I keep inviting her out here, like to come take take a
That'd be
vacation at the
nice.
beach. It's just this pesky job, and this pesky
Yeah.
fiance, and like dogs that want her around.
Dogs,
She can't
yeah.
just leave when she
Yeah,
wants.
it's important.
I know. She's got responsibilities, and we still love her.
Ugh.
Ugh to the
Responsibilities. What a
responsibilities,
nasty
not
word.
ugh to the loving her. But so for the next month or so, I'm going to have some guest hosts come in and do actual episodes and go through the
Y'all
podcast.
gonna get surprised by the guest.
Our first guest is pretty special because it is my other day-to-day Mandy counterpart, Kyle.
Oh, yeah. What's up? The most special. Wow.
Kyle is super excited because we've already watched the movie, so we're kind of doing these together, and he's exhausted. His eyes are almost closed while we're recording. He's not, he just,
Had a long day
at this
today.
point, he just wants to be done.
Went off-roading
Yeah.
in a big old Maverick X3, which a lot of you people don't really know what that is,
Hey, you
but
might.
it's pretty much an off-road sports car.
Yeah.
It is fun as fuck.
Meanwhile, I went to work with a broken foot. It's fine.
Yeah, I was on
It's
some
fine.
ATVs today too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely want to look into a dirt bike, but that's
I
for another
was
day.
on a knee scooter, so
Woo!
I got some pretty sick air.
Yeah, which I got you
It's
yesterday.
like I can't wait to do my Tony Hawk Pro Skater on my knee
It's got a little basket on
scooter.
it, a knee pad with a little
So
fluffy cover, and the best part, tassels.
I do have tassels. It's
Tassels.
pretty awesome. So this week's category is pretty fun. I let Kyle pick from the jar for the first time, which was a little intimidating. I usually let him pick the categories when we do them. So he was very nervous to pick from the jar, and I let him pick a few times, so it's not entirely random. But you know what? He was reacting to some of the categories, and I even went over this with Mandy. You were reacting the same way she would have reacted to them if she had only done like 3-4 episodes too, being like, Sam, what did your pretentious ass put in this jar?
What the hell does this mean? So, what are you getting at?
So we let you pick one, basically. The jar is being nice to you. I wouldn't get used to the jar being nice to you, but maybe the jar likes you better. I don't know.
Most people do.
So this week's category is not the one that we announced at the end of the last episode, but this week's category is movie you think should get a sequel.
Flipped it on you.
We flipped it. Sorry. But so we wanted to talk about some movies where not necessarily they left a cliffhanger and you need a second movie, but more of the world building and the story and the characters are so interesting, you want to go back to the world of that movie.
Yeah, I was trying to focus on the cliffhanger aspect, but I just couldn't think of anything on top of my head. I really just, nothing came to me.
See, I had one immediately pop into mind, and it's perfect because there were sequels set up for my movie, and then they were not done for a variety of reasons, which we will get into. So we're going to do rock, paper, scissors to see who's going first.
Okay.
All right, ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh, yeah.
He got rocks, and rock, he's going to go first. Rock,
scissors.
We've already watched it. Relax.
Yeah. What do you mean?
He's just going to stay awake at this point.
I'm so relaxed right now.
You're a little too relaxed, actually. Perk up. Wake up.
All right, here we go.
So, first we watched your movie.
Yeah.
And this is a movie that you've been meaning to make me watch for a while.
It
but
is.
But also, Mandy's been meaning to make me watch for a while. And you guys kind of had to do your own gentleman's agreement of, like, whatever one it comes up for first.
It was one of those movies that I just couldn't believe you hadn't seen.
Yeah. But also, like, Mandy really wanted to make me watch this. And you guys kind of made the agreement of, if it comes up first for you or for her, like, it's not a competition, but, you know.
And that movie is Spaceballs!
I should have known he would be singing in this.
Got the Spaceballs!
I don't know how I've made... I feel like I must have seen it at some point, given, like, my family and stuff like that. But before we watched the movie, I couldn't have told you anything that I hadn't learned from, like, Twitter or just general internet knowledge. I didn't know the story. I didn't know the character's name.
Yeah. And it was a blast. Blast in the past. In the future.
I'm not saying anything. You're still doing your introduction.
Well, Spaceballs did come out in 1987.
I don't know why I never think of Mel Brooks doing movies past, like, the 70s.
Yeah.
So it being 87 and being like, wow, I was almost alive. That's weird. Then I remember he did like The Producers.
Mm-hmm. I was a year old at that time.
You probably watched it.
Despite it being a PG movie, they did have the word fuck in it once. And a few other swear words.
I think Mandy and I have talked about it before, but it was right around this time that PG and PG-13 were separated.
Yeah, I think that's there too.
So PG-13 is when you're allowed to have one fuck.
Well, this was 96 minutes of the one fuck.
I do think that on previous episodes you've done with me, there have been considerably more fucks.
Yeah, no doubt.
Considerably more.
Yeah, it was one of the main words used in those movies. In
fact.
And,
yeah.
You know,
two out of three episodes you've done with me, we've had fuck tallies.
Yeah, so let me tell you about this movie.
Okay.
As if you hadn't already seen it.
I know, right?
In a distant galaxy, planet Spaceball has depleted its air supply, leaving its citizens reliant on a product called Perrier. In desperation, Spaceball's leader, President Scroob, Mel Brooks, which actually is Brooks backwards, Scroob, if you think about it, orders the evil Dark Helmet, Rick Moranis, to kidnap Princess Vespa, Daphne Zuniga, of oxygen-rich Druidia.
Druidia,
and hold her hostage in exchange for air. But help arrives for the princess in the form of renegade space pilot Lone Star, played by Bo Pullman, and his half-man, half-dog, are also known as a Mog, partner Barf, or also played by John Candy. So this was directed by Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
He played a couple of the roles, including Yogurt, you know, the all-knowing Yoda ripoff.
He was the Yoda.
Yeah. Written by Mel Brooks, of course, Thomas Meehan, and Ronnie Graham.
Mm-hmm.
Starring Mel Brooks, but of course,
yep.
John Candy, Rick Moranis, Bill Pullman, Daphne Zuniga, Dick Van Patten. He played, I think, he was Colonel Sanders, right?
No.
Which one was he?
Dick Van Patten was Princess Vespa's father.
Oh, the father. And then George Weiner, then, he was the Colonel Sanders.
Maybe. There was a character named Colonel Sanders, and it threw me off. Like,
yeah.
Is this going to be a KFC reference?
No, they didn't throw it out there.
Yes, they did. They really? Only did it once, but they did it, like, so far, almost too far into the movie for it. Not, it was still funny, but they did it, like, where you, I was like, is there going to be a KFC reference? Okay, maybe there isn't going to be one. And then at one point, I made a note of it.
Well, last but not least.
He turns to me and goes,
yeah.
Colonel Sanders, what are you, chicken?
yes. Don't forget about Joan Rivers, though. She was the voice of Dot Matrix.
Yes, I love Joan
Wasn't in the costume, but she did do the voice.
Okay.
That
probably makes sense, because I think Joan Rivers, I know she's passed now, but she's just, in my mind, as old forever.
Actually, what? Three of those people have now passed. John Candy.
Yeah.
Joan Rivers.
Yeah.
And I imagine Dick Van Patten, too.
Not sure. No? Not sure about Dick Van Patten.
Not sure. Well, let's moving on.
Sure.
What's the
runtime? You said 96 minutes.
Yeah, it was 96 minutes. Right. I didn't mention that.
How about Rotten Tomatoes?
The Rotten Tomatoes score was actually a 58% from critics.
Really?
But 83% audience score.
That
so
makes
much
sense.
Stronger.
Yeah, that makes sense.
People seem to like this movie.
People who like this movie,
I mean, it's a
really
spoof.
Fucking
why would
like
the critics like it? I mean, it was 58%, so it's not like a total flop, but... Speaking of which, it didn't do so well, I don't think, when it released.
I don't know.
I guess the box office was only 36.7 million, but in 1987, that was good.
That's still pretty good.
Ish.
Adjusted for inflation, that's still pretty good.
Oof. I don't know. I can't math.
Especially not right now.
Not in this state of mind.
You can't math on a good day.
Here's some fun trivia.
He spent so much time finding your trivia... That you were like, I think I have too much trivia.
Yeah, it's a lot, but you know what? It's good.
Okay, go ahead.
You know,
I'm ready.
In 87, and won a Stinker Award for Worst Picture.
What is it?
I don't know.
Is a Stinker
but
like
it's
a precursor
the only
to a
award,
Razzie?
Maybe.
Must be the precursor to a Razzie.
All right. So, towards the end of the movie,
They're
at one of the diner scene. The Millennium Falcon appears on the outside in the parking lot.
I did not notice.
You have to... Give a close look to see it.
Okay.
It can be spotted in the parked among the other space vehicles. George Lucas got a chance to read the screenplay before production began and loved it so much that he decided to have a special effects company, Industrial Light and Magic, help make this movie. So, yeah, George Lucas was a huge fan from beginning to end.
I think...
A few of these notes are actually about him.
But it's also like, if Weird Al wants to do a parody of your song, like,
yeah.
So you're, of course you're going to say yes.
Well, like, unless you're Prince...
Yeah. But that also checks for Prince. But, like, it's an honor to have Mel Brooks parody something
for sure.
of yours, I would
Speaking
say.
Speaking of the Brooks.
So when Mel Brooks does his own spin-off podcast with Carl Reiner of this podcast, I'll know I've made it.
Yeah. Nice. So, of all the jokes in the movie, writer, producer, and director Mel Brooks has his two favorite that he's most proud of is the running gag about merchandising... Spaceballs, the breakfast cereal.
That was
Spaceballs,
my, that
a
t-shirt. That was one of my
Spaceballs,
favorites.
The flamethrower.
Oh,
the kids will love this one.
I liked, at one point you see, like, Spaceballs, the toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
Spaceballs, the sheet.
The sheet, yeah. the president's crew.
Yep.
And then his other joke he loved so much was about the rental before the movie was over.
Oh,
how they
God.
Rented it, and they were watching the movie. Well,
it's now.
Yeah.
Now. So what part is now? No, it's not now. Then was now. But now we're now. I'm just looking
so
at it.
So what was then? Just now.
Yeah.
The box for the Spaceballs breakfast cereal says it contains 100% sugar. That would be bomb. Spaceballs merchandise shown in this movie includes bedsheet, flamethrower, lunchbox, cornflakes, towels, yogurt doll, toilet paper, shaving cream, placemat, action figures... As part of the fair use agreement between Mel Brooks and George Lucas, no legitimate Spaceballs merchandise ever existed in the real world. The lunchbox and coloring book are simply the Transformers 84 products and a Spaceballs logo stuck on them.
Okay.
So part of the deal that Lucas made with Brooks is that he couldn't sell any merchandising on this movie. He's like, yeah, you can spoof my movie, but you can't sell any merchandising because mm-hmm. that could take away from my Star Wars merchandising sales. And he was
getting so tired. Your voice is getting so deep.
It's dipping a bit. The scene in which Dark Helmet is playing with the doll was not in the screenplay. Remember that part? Yeah. Writer-producer Mel Brooks said he came up with the idea on the set one day and told Rick Moranis, who then improvised the entire scene.
Of course he did. My very first note for this movie is Rick Moranis is a national treasure.
Yes, he truly is. I wish he was in more stuff these days. Well, I understand why.
He is coming back.
Oh, good.
He has, well, before COVID, but he was in talks to come back and do stuff. His kids are grown now. Mm-hmm. He's willing to come back, and he's like, oh, but I don't think anyone would want me back. And everyone's like, no, please come back.
Yeah, right.
We need it.
Hey, easy now.
I desperately need Rick Moranis to come back. Once he comes back, COVID will be over.
Yeah, probably. So yeah, oh, the next note I have. In a 2013 television interview, Mel Brooks stated that he personally obtained George Lucas' full permission to parody any and all Star Wars related, but on one condition, that absolutely no merchandise of any kind can be reduced from this movie.
Mm-hmm.
This reason is why all yogurt and the Dinks do the merchandising. Merchandising.
Oh, yeah.
It is also why none of the merchandise seen in this movie would ever mass produce and publicly sold in any way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there are people on like Etsy or something that make baseball themed stuff.
Absolutely at this point. Absolutely.
I'm sure there are.
I'm sure we could go on Google right now and find it within 5 seconds. But
none of it is official.
Yeah. Michael Winslow from Police Academy mm-hmm. appears in this one. He's the one known for his sound effects.
You told me this while we were watching it, and I know I've seen the first Police Academy.
You just couldn't remember.
There's like 30 of them, but I know I haven't seen it in years because I had a childhood crush on Steve Guttenberg for some reason.
During...
And I have no idea why, and that's a mental thing I don't want to go down. Like,
oh,
I don't want to open that door, don't want to go down
that geez, Rick. Oh, boy. Well, during this scene, Michael Winslow did almost all of the sound effects. And in the DVD audio commentary for the movie, Mel Brooks jokes that they saved around $1,000 by letting him do that.
You told me your phone was on silent.
I did. Look at all these things that have silented.
Except that's for on, your that's volume, on, you idiot.
That's not what that was, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, at least it's appropriate because it's the R2-D2 noise.
Yeah, that's true.
It's usually my phone that goes off and Mandy gets mad at me about it, so.
You'll like this one, I think. So, the castle on the planet of Druidia is mm-hmm. King Ludwig II, that's a big word, Neuschwanstein Castle?
What?
I don't know.
Where are you looking? Neuschwanstein.
Okay, Neuschwanstein Castle in Bavaria. It has been modified by matte painting with additional ramps. Neuschwanstein Castle was a featured in many motion pictures, and is the original inspiration for the castle at Walt Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
You already knew that.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
I knew the second part, but I didn't know the first part.
Well, that's the castle right
Yay.
There in the movie.
That's very nice.
Which would
later go on to foreshadow how Disney now owns Star Wars.
As you may have remembered, the cameo towards the end of John Hurt, who parodied his own role from the Alien movie. Apparently, he didn't even know it was going to happen until, like, he walked in on set that day.
In the movie?
Yeah.
He didn't know it was going to happen until he walked on set. The actors didn't know. So when it happened, they got genuine reactions.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I also haven't seen Alien. I just know that part. And that there's an alien.
The escape pod launch sequence is an unused clip from Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, 97, provided to Mel Brooks by Lucasfilm.
Okay.
I don't remember exactly which one that was. I imagine it was somehow during the end, the escape pod.
Yeah, I assume so.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Like, damn, straight up actual unused Star Wars footage in Spaceballs.
Yeah. Neat.
So the costume that John Candy wore was actually operated by 3 different people. John Candy had his own little thing for his tail,
uh-huh.
and 2 assistants controlled each ear. They're all controlled by a 30-pound battery in the back of the suit.
Damn.
That's a lot in a battery.
Yeah, that's heavy.
That kind of, like, surprised me. I would have been exhausted.
Well, it's 1987 batteries.
Yeah.
They're not tiny like now.
So Mel Brooks came up with this idea for the movie when he discovered he had yet to spoof space movies. Try to say in that 10 times fast.
Yet to spoof space movies.
Yeah. Anyway, since he had already destroyed Western movies with Blazing Saddles in 74. Made fun of the horror genre with a young Frankenstein in 74 and gave Silent Movies the axe with Silent Movie in 1976. Yeah. All right, just reading as it is. All right, so the filmmakers had to replace the original title of this movie, Planet Moron, when they heard about the British science fiction spoof Morons from Outer Space in 85.
Oh.
Mel Brooks, Ronnie Graham, and Thomas Meehan went through all the letters of the alphabet and searched for a word to add to space, which Thomas Meehan suggested. Mel Brooks spilled a drink and shouted, "Balls!" And Ronnie Graham said, "Space Balls!" which became the movie's new and final title. And then they came up with the idea that the villains, the Space Balls, should all wear space ball or ball-shaped helmets. Ironically, the Morons from Outer Space, 85, the name of the game of sport that the Morons from Outer Space played in their spaceship was called Spaceball.
Oh.
2 years after the movie was released, Mel Brooks' science fiction comedy was launched into theaters. Yeah, that was in 87.
Mm-hmm.
Tesla Motors is
How
now...
How many more of these?
This is it. I'm almost done. Okay. I'm almost done. This
I
is
do
it.
Eventually get a turn.
Last two. I'm sorry. Okay?
Okay.
I'm almost through this. Tesla Motors has used Spaceball's starship speeds, light speed, ridiculous speed, ludicrous speed, and plaid speed as inspiration for naming their acceleration modes. In homage to this movie, Tesla has ludicrous mode for acceleration beyond its insane mode and plaid mode and the over-top ludicrous.
I'm almost surprised that, like, Elon Musk didn't name his flamethrower.
Yeah, right?
Spaceballs flamethrower.
That would have been fun.
Instead, he called it Flamethrower, but then he got into copyright issues because you can't sell it to children, so it's legally called Not a Flamethrower.
Yep, I remember that now.
Yeah.
Last one.
Okay.
In 2015,
mm-hmm.
it was rumored Mel Brooks had expressed interest in making a long-awaited sequel with Bill Pullman and Daphne Zuniga returning.
Whoa!
But some cast members won't be returning, such as John Candy, Joan Rivers, and Dick Van Patten, who have sadly died. It is uncertain.
Okay, so he's definitely dead. We figured that one out.
I have my notes here. So, and it is uncertain if Rick Moranis will return as Dark Helmet, since he has retired for acting and not retired since acting since 06. But once we talked, he might be coming back. We'll see.
Hopefully.
The sequel may be a parody from Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So this episode might be rendered obsolete in a few years.
Yeah, well, at least it, you know, proved its point, and movies that should have had a sequel, and then look, you know,
fruition. If you lose today, you don't get a retroactive win. that's not how it'll work.
I don't think I'm going to be losing today, sweetheart. Anyway,
wow.
Yeah.
That's a bold statement
for
20 minutes.
Did you like this movie?
Do I get to talk about my movie at all?
I thought we did the questions.
No, we introduced both movies first.
Oh, is that
first.
How we roll?
Yes. I like that you're challenging me like I haven't done a fucking 100 of these.
It's not a challenge. I just didn't remember and I was clarifying. I'm sure
you're... So after your sequel-less movie, we're going to watch my sequel-less movie. And
all
we
right.
did.
Yes, we did. It was fun.
Shh. We're
Go.
Talking about my movie now.
I'm talking about your movie now.
So this movie I saw when it came out. I saw it in IMAX 3D, and I'm probably responsible for the $25
yeah,
this movie
say,
made in the States.
You and how many others? Just a few?
It was probably just me.
Yeah.
But the world building's really fun. The characters are entertaining. And this is a movie that I feel like, if done well, could get sequels.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily this movie, but maybe they reboot or something. So we watched John Carter. And before I told you about this movie, had you heard of it?
Yes, but
kinda?
Not much
okay.
about it.
It came out in 2012. It's long. It's 2 hours, 12 minutes.
Wow. Yeah.
It's long.
I knew it was long. I didn't realize how long last
it's night. Long.
Was last night?
Yeah, we watched these yesterday. We're recording today. It's PG-13.
Uh-huh.
You see a lot of side boob for a PG-13 movie. I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm just pointing it out as a thing. And it has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 52%.
Oh, damn.
So they're pretty
similar. Not too much lower than the other.
Yeah. The director was Andrew Stanton. This is a Disney movie. So Andrew Stanton, this is his first live action movie that he's done for Disney, but he's done a lot of successful movies for Disney. Maybe you've heard of these. WALL-E.
Yep.
Bug's Life.
Yep.
Finding Nemo.
I think so.
So he has openly admitted that he is like 70-80% of the issues that this movie had.
Oh.
And I'll get into it later.
Okay.
But so this was this was his jump. He was working at Pixar and Disney. I'll tell you how Disney got the rights. But he was like, I volunteered to direct it. And he got the opportunity to write and direct. And it was just a lot. It was a lot. A lot going on. The writers, Andrew Stanton, Mark Andrews. The only other big movie credit he had was Brave.
Oh.
Yep.
Still see that one too.
Yeah. And then Michael Chabon, who he wrote Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
Along with Tobey Maguire.
Right.
And then he's also the creator for the new show Star Trek Picard. Which okay. I haven't watched because I've never watched any Star Trek other than the reboots. And then in true Sam fashion, it is based on a book. It's based on the book A Princess for Mars by Edgar Rice Burroughs,
okay.
who also wrote the Tarzan books.
Oh.
And arguably, when these books came out, they were more popular than Tarzan. But we've just... what ended up happening is they went to make a movie of this and it didn't work out, and then they made a movie of Tarzan... like black and white movie with a famous Olympian in it, Johnny Weissmuller, and then Tarzan's been popular ever since, and nobody remembers John Carter.
Oh man.
So the cast, I think you're gonna know who a few of these people are.
Yeah, I recognize.
Taylor Kitsch plays John Carter,
right.
And I was telling you that up until this point he had been predominantly on Friday Night Lights playing young people, and he's like 35,
mm-hmm.
so this is him playing an adult. Lynn Collins, Willem Dafoe, it's always fun.
Yep.
Samantha Morton, Thomas Hayden Church, Mark Strong, Ciaran Hines, Dominic West, James Purfoy, Daryl Sabara, and Bryan Cranston.
It's a great cast.
Bryan Cranston's only in very little.
Not much.
And still gets top billing.
Yeah.
Like, he's still in the top list, and he's in it for maybe...
a few minutes.
2 minutes.
Beginning of the movie.
Yeah, the very beginning, and then you see his skeleton at one point. So the plot of this, it's a very complicated plot. Well, it's simple until you get to Mars.
Right. Well, it looks like it's going to be a Western.
It,
and then all of a sudden he's teleported to Mars.
Yeah,
and now you've got these aliens with four arms and really tall. And then there
tusks.
Are the strange, and tusks.
Yeah.
And then there are the good humans and the bad humans. You're just like, wait, who's the good guy and bad guy again?
Basically, Civil War veteran John Carter is trying to live a, quote, normal life when he accidentally finds himself transported to Barsoom, known to us as Mars, and ends up caught in another civil war. This is how John Carter of Earth becomes John Carter of Mars.
Yeah. Barsoom.
Barsoom.
That was,
I don't think you enjoyed... the name?
No, I didn't like the name.
Barsoom.
But, you know, it's an alien language. Who am I to complain?
But I did like the point where they were going through the galaxy, and she was like, it's this Zoom. He's like, that's Mercury.
Like, all their names sound the same.
Zoom.
Yeah, it was like, well, that's creative.
Well, it is, actually.
I mean, it makes more sense when you think about language.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Ours
but...
are all named after obscure gods that few people
Roman
anymore.
Gods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I have quite a few trivia facts as well. Let me get into the production of this movie, because this film probably holds the record. I can't say definitely, but probably holds the record for the longest time in development hell.
Oh, no.
79 years.
What?
So
when was this book written?
Pre-production first started in 1931 when Robert Clampett, who is a director of the Looney Tunes cartoons, approached author Burroughs to obtain the rights to make an animated feature of the first book, A Princess for Mars, of Mars. Had the plan gone through, John Carter would have been the first animated feature in America.
Huh.
Predating Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs by 6 years.
That would have been really interesting.
Then it fell out of public view for a little bit. In the 50s, a man named Roy Harryhausen had the rights, and he was going to do a stop-motion animation movie of John Carter. Disney had the rights in the 80s and had John McTiernan set to direct with Tom Cruise tied to play John Carter.
Oh, shit.
80s Tom Cruise. We all know how much I love 80s Tom Cruise.
Too much.
In 2004, the project was at Paramount with Robert Rodriguez set to direct.
How'd it keep falling through each time?
Until he resigned from the Directors Guild of America over disputes from Sin City. So basically what ended up happening is that directors would get it. There would never be enough like extra because no director really wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
So they would the studio would let the rights lapse and another studio would buy the rights. So yeah, 2004, Robert Rodriguez resigns from the Directors Guild of America over disputes. There was something going on with Sin City.
That was a dope movie.
That was a really fun movie. So then Jon Favreau had the project with Paramount. And then Paramount decided not to renew the rights, instead focusing on the Star Trek reboots. And Favreau left to direct Iron Man, which came out in 2008.
Which was, as we all know, epic.
Also amazing.
And kicked off one of the best movie universes of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that was good.
Then Disney regained the rights in 2007. Andrew Stanton was working at Pixar, lobbied for them to take the rights, which they did. Then once they acquired the rights, he lobbied to direct it, which he did. And filming started in London in 2010.
Finally. After all those years.
The first John Carter story by Burroughs made its debut in 1912 in a magazine serial.
What?
The 2012 feature film marks the century.
A hundred years later.
100th anniversary of the character's first appearance.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's pretty fun.
She might have bombed.
Financially, the film is considered one of the largest box office losses in Disney history. Such a large loss was attributed to issues with marketing, management changes at the studio, and a lack of merchandising. So, basically, what ended up happening, director Stanton has confessed that he is not too satisfied with how the film turned out, crediting it as his first time live-action director, where he became, quote, drunk with power after receiving too much money and creative control.
Oh, dear.
So, in terms of marketing, I don't know what you remember seeing in 2012 when this movie was coming out.
I don't remember what I was even doing in 2012, let's be honest.
The original title was John Carter from Mars, but he argued that this is an origin story, so it's not John Carter from Mars because he doesn't become that until the very end.
Okay.
So when they advertised it, Stanton was a very slow director, so there were no big scenes, no big battles, or nothing to show off the CGI and the special effects.
Pretty fun, actually.
There was nothing ready for when the trailers were going out.
Oh, dear. So just got no...
He also didn't want to advertise it as a children's movie. So the trailers and the promos are all very serious, like they're targeted at adults. He wanted to stay very true to the books. He had read the books as a kid, and he loved them. But he assumed that everybody knew what the fuck he was talking about.
Oh, shit.
Didn't bring up his past successful work. Didn't bring up Edgar Rice Burroughs in the marketing promotions at all. And just didn't push the movie as much as he should have. Then at some point... Disney's, the person in charge of the studio left, so there was that issue. And then with big budget movies like this, there's merchandising, like you talked about with Spaceballs.
Yep.
There was nothing for John Carter. No t-shirts, no toys, no, like, all of those flight things, all of their planes, all of their everything, you could have made toys of those.
I would have got one of their, like, little alien babies.
Those are pretty cute, the little alien babies.
They were.
Nothing. They made nothing because Andrew Stanton wanted it to be serious. It's not a kid's movie. So this
learned
movie,
a hard lesson there.
This movie and then The Lone Ranger came out like the next year, which is also a big bomb. And Disney lost something like $84 billion between the two movies. Yeah. In positive news, the rights to the novels have since reverted back to the Burroughs estate, who say they are still game to try and turn the books into a successful movie franchise.
What? Redone.
Two sequels were previously in development and were scrapped.
Damn.
Yeah.
Because of how bad it bombed.
Yeah. Other fun facts. This one's pretty fun. Just objectively fun. While they were filming at Big Water in Utah, the crew accidentally discovered a 60-foot-long sauropod skeleton.
What?
The state's Land Management Bureau had to come in and take over.
Wow.
That's pretty weird.
Found a fucking dinosaur.
Two more. So, Robert Zemeckis turned down the chance to direct.
I don't remember who he is.
Robert Zemeckis did Back to the Future.
Okay.
Yeah, he's done a lot.
All right, another big one.
Quipping, George already pillaged all of that. Referring to the Star Wars movies.
Oh.
And then my last fact, this movie is for some reason, and I couldn't figure out why, dedicated to the memory of Steve Jobs. I don't know why. I don't know what he had to do with this movie. I couldn't... If anyone has any information of why John Carter is dedicated to the memory of Steve Jobs, please let me know. I couldn't find it.
Where did it say that?
At the very end, it says, after they do the
really?
After John Carter from Mars, it says, dedicated to the memory of
Steve
Jobs.
Maybe he had, like, just passed, and they were trying to be, like...
Maybe he was a huge fan? I don't know.
There's nothing that says he put any work on this film, or...
I don't know.
Unless they did all their
editing in Final Cut Pro, and then they used Max to do it. Like, I have
Send
no idea.
Send your answer to meversyoupodcast
@gmail.com. So that's John Carter. I think it's really, really fun. I don't think it's the best movie. I think they're, like... Regardless of the fact that it bombed at the box office, I think there were a lot of structural issues in the movie.
Yeah.
That weren't great.
It would have hashed out, but better.
But I still think that,
it was fun.
That this world is really, really fun, and making a sequel would be good.
Yeah,
so
I could
now
see that.
Let's talk about Spaceballs.
Oh, going back to Spaceballs.
Going back to Spaceballs, we're going to go through the questions because we did already watch them, and we're getting way too far into this podcast to not actively discuss.
So, yeah, so about Spaceball, how'd you like the movie?
I thought it was fun. I was getting really, really frustrated at the beginning because things were dumb.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, this was 1987.
Yeah.
This was the height of comedy in 1987.
Yes.
Like, let yourself have fun with it. And ultimately, there were some parts that I thought were really, really fun.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
What pulled you into it?
Bill Pullman.
Yeah, of course. Literally, it's in his last name.
Not what I was thinking. But, like, I thought the Spaceballs were just so dumb.
Yes.
And
that's why it's so fun.
I know. But I really don't think I was pulled in until...
How many assholes am I surrounded by?
Surrounded by assholes!
Literally, I think everyone on the deck except for one guy stood up there.
Yeah. I really think I didn't get into it until Bill Pullman and John Candy showed up.
Because
I wrote down, young Bill Pullman can get it. Yeah.
Did anything take you out of the movie?
I mean, some parts were just too dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unfathomably dumb.
The idea that it's called
The Schwartz was just so awful to me. Like, of all the dumb things they could have called it, they picked that. I hated it so much.
Well, it was a reference to one of his lawyers or something.
Maybe.
It was an inside joke for him, I think. There was... a trivia fact that I didn't pull.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The other thing that I, like, really, really, really hated, like, vehemently hated, was the end with the Spaceball song. While everyone's trying to get out of the escape pods.
Right.
Because at no point had music played a role at very little in the movie. That's true.
You just didn't notice it. There's plenty of reference.
There were...
Like, they when they were in the desert, they did the Prince of Arabia music and stuff like that.
They did, yes. But I'm saying, like, the music was always supposed to go with what was going on.
Okay.
So...
And this one just was too silly.
It was too much.
Yeah.
Like, they had this... It turned into a music video, almost, for Spaceballs. And that would have been funny if they had been like, oh, Spaceballs music video... Based, you know, by the Spaceballs album or something, if they turned it into it. But it like, I hated it. I hated the song. Hated everything about it. Everything.
Oh, it's too bad.
At least it happened near the end. But
yeah, the very end.
Yeah, I hate it.
Who was your favorite character?
I liked Lone Star and Barf.
Mm-hmm.
They were really, really fun. Dot was fun. Prince Valium kept falling asleep.
Come back.
I did like the priest who kept getting pissed off and then the wedding kept being interrupted.
Do you? Yes. Do you? Yes. Kiss already.
But honestly, like, Rick Moranis made the whole movie.
He did. He did. He really did. How was your favorite scene? Which was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene. I don't know that I have a favorite scene, but I do... No, I do have a favorite scene. It was right around the time when I was like, you know what? I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it be fun and just enjoy it. And then they're jamming the radar.
Yeah, you laughed pretty hard.
Jamming the radar and then a jar of jam.
Do you remember what flavor?
Raspberry.
Okay, no, here's the thing. Raspberry jam, they threw a jar of strawberry jam at the radar. And then when Rick Moranis goes to taste it, he's like, raspberry. Only one man who dared send raspberry.
Yeah.
Lone Star. But that was like a little miss in the movie.
Sure.
Because it was a jar of strawberry jam.
Mm-hmm.
And then it, yeah, raspberried out.
The other scene that I really, really liked is when they were looking for the princess and she was in her cell singing. But she wasn't singing like normal. She was singing,
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
It was a perfect song and like,
so funny.
You just
so
wouldn't
silly.
Expect her to sing so low. Like you can see her face straining to him.
John Kerry's like, huh, but she's Jesus. A bass. Yeah, that was fun. I think my favorite scene was probably when Rick Moranis, ludicrous speed, and he's flying through the air, and he hits, you know, the stop command, and he flies through and hits his head, and he's just kind of like, oh, hey, yeah, how's everyone doing?
Yeah, and then just, falls on his face.
Smoke if you got him, and he just collapses.
Yeah.
And while he is literally like a smoking wreck.
I do like that you are almost word for word recounting scenes from this movie. How many times have you seen Spaceballs? A lot?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a while before this time, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a lot.
Okay.
Give me some of your notes.
Well, I already talked about quite a few. Rick Moranis is a national treasure. Yeah. Bears repeating.
Yeah, it does.
Dark Helmet. Is it Darth Helmet or Dark Helmet?
Dark Helmet.
Dark Helmet.
Yes.
With a K. Dark.
Yeah.
Okay. Dark Helmet's tie looks like a dick.
Yeah.
You didn't notice it, but it was, like the...
I'm sure that was done on purpose.
The collars are usually pointed, and this one was big round balls.
Yeah.
I
remember that now.
I liked the scene where he drank coffee, and then he spit it out because it was too hot, and the coffee hit the camera. This flying Winnebago is my dad's dream car.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd want it, too.
Yeah, have fun by yourself in it.
No way, Winnebago. We could fly the universe.
We're not living in a Winnebago.
Winnebango.
Moving on. Pizza the Hut was Dom DeLuise. I recognized his voice. You can't recognize his face.
You can't not pizza. Recognize his voice.
Yeah, you can't not recognize Dom DeLuise. We're not just doing it for money. We're doing it for a shitload of money.
Yep.
And I like liked that because...
A million space bucks.
I liked that because in normal movies, it's like, we're not just doing it for money. We're doing it because it's the right thing to do, and we have to do it. And they were like, it's not just money.
It's a shitload of money.
What's the matter, Colonel Sanders? Chicken? That's what it was. Joan Rivers is a fun, sassy robot. Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money.
See? It's in the title.
It's canon.
It's in there. It's gonna happen. It's in the works.
It'd be really funny if they did actually call it Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money.
They're working on it.
At first, the merchandising annoyed me, but now it's fun to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I love that part of the show.
Sorry, the movie. Both tired. Yeah. It's late. The alien baby at the very end pulled a Michigan J frog where he jumps out of the guy's chest and then starts doing the hello my baby.
Hello my honey, hello my ragtime girl.
And then probably, I wouldn't say it's my favorite scene, but it's probably the part that I like laughed the hardest at. Bartholomew.
What's your name? Barf. Not here, mister. What's your full name? Bartholomew.
And he was just like so proud about it, and, like one ear doing.
Oh wait, no. When he says Bartholomew, I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry, folks. That was at the end of the movie when the priest asks, "Who's the best man?" He says, "Barf. What's your full name? Bartholomew. There we go. My bad.
And those are my notes. I didn't take a ton of notes. I was trying to pay attention.
Okay, well, it's a worthy movie. Why do you think I like this movie?
It's dumb fun.
Yeah.
Exactly. You and Mandy are exactly the same. Well, it's unnerving.
Yeah.
The number of times I end her section with, "You like this movie because it's dumb fun." And she's like, "Yeah."
Duh.
Yeah, it's dumb fun. But also, like, there's something about Mel Brooks that there's the dumb comedy up front and then the really smart comedy behind it. So there's many, many layers to Brooks comedy that I really enjoy. So, like, I remember being young and watching Robin Hood Men in Tights is probably my favorite Mel Brooks. And, like, getting only the surface jokes and then rewatching it and knowing what the references are.
Mm-hmm.
And then being like, holy shit, that's genius.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I like those, too.
So did I get it right? That's why you liked it?
Because it's dumb fun. It's just easy to watch. Okay. It's silly,
And you like it?
Yeah.
Okay. So then we watched John Carter. Did you like it?
I did. I thought it was fun. Story confusing at times.
Yeah.
Who were those weird god people?
They were the Therns.
That's still not sure what the fuck that
means. Yeah, I think...
That needed a lot more back telling. Yeah. There was a huge just gap information there.
Normally, I'm a big fan. Like, that's a fairly typical... convention in storytelling.
Yeah, let me when just put this all godlike figure to do.
No. A fairly popular, well-used storytelling technique is to drop in someone who knows nothing about what's going on and then saying, "Hey, you must be new here. Let me tell you what's going on."
Yeah, yeah.
And so through this, what I think he was trying to do is he was trying to have him learn things organically and naturally, so you never knew too much more than John Carter did.
Okay.
But that was a problem because John Carter's with the Tharks, and then there's other warring people, plus these god people, and you're like, wait a second, we don't know who you are because John Carter doesn't know who you are yet. Yeah,
plus the Thern guy kept transforming.
And that throws you off.
It's like, wait.
Yeah.
Who's this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, it's him again.
Oh, it's this bitch again. Yeah. So that's what I think he was trying to do. And I applaud the effort, but there was just too many things going on for that to work out as well as he had hoped.
Yeah. Okay.
Barton was trying to get in on the podcast too. Hi, buddy. Come here. You can come sit with me while I ask questions. So, what pulled you into the movie?
I like the sci-fi aspect. I like the being on another planet.
Mm-hmm.
I like the aliens a lot. I thought that was really interesting.
So you liked it you started liking it or started getting into it once they got on the Mars?
Yeah, I was really confused when it first started. You know, I'm like, wait, they're on Earth. How do you get to Mars all of a sudden?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole thing where the Therns showed up and For one, why did it happen to show up right then?
Mm-hmm.
Two was like, why was the Thern saying the command to for transport? Was he trying to get John Carter there?
No, he was trying to leave. He was like, oh shit, there's someone in this cave. I came here too early or too late.
And he got shot.
It's okay, buddy.
That when John Carter pick up the thing before he said the final word?
John Carter picked up the gun and shot him, so then he's still trying to leave while he's dying, and as he says the last word, John Carter grabs it instead of him.
And says it himself.
Instead of him.
Yeah, no, but then he says it, right?
No, John doesn't say it. He doesn't know what he's saying.
Okay.
Yeah. In the books, apparently, it happens way differently. The Therns aren't even in the books.
Really?
Yeah.
That would have made more sense.
I guess.
I thought they were kind of confusing addition.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
But yeah, I definitely got into that aspect of
things. So you got into it once you got into Mars.
Yeah, started getting off and I started following, like, well, who was actually who.
Mm-hmm. Did anything pull you out after that? Like, once you were invested, was there anything that you were like, nope, I'm out. I'm done. I don't like this.
There was a couple of times the movie slowed down.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, all right, this is long. Mm-hmm. When's the next action scene? Yeah. When's the next thing that's going to happen?
Yeah, unfortunately, there were, like, when John and Deja were together, they were so compelling. And they were so interesting to watch. But then they're just talking and talking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God!
Yeah, I get it. You're trying to fill the backstory, but...
You're smart! Like, just move.
Do
just
something. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember looking at my watch like, damn, still going, huh?
Yeah. You made me pause it at one point.
We had a... I think we had to get some water or a drink or something.
Yeah, we had to take like a bathroom
break. I needed a bong rip like crazy because I was like, oh man, I'm a little bit bored. Let's get this high. All right, go on.
Did you have a favorite character?
I mean, probably John Carter.
Was it Willa?
Oh my God, well, yeah. I forgot the name. It was the dog thing. The dog alien thing,
yeah.
He was probably my favorite character. I liked the woman a lot too. She was fun.
Deja?
Pretty badass.
Sola.
No, I didn't like Sola so much.
I liked Sola.
She was all right, but, you know, she was kind of a fuck-up and eventually, you know, figured it out.
See, I don't think she was a fuck-up. I think...
How do you think she had so many marks already?
Because the head Thark was her dad, and he knew that, and I think he held her to a higher standard than
she
was ready for.
No, because she didn't know.
No, because when she gets branded with John Carter, she didn't do anything wrong.
Yes, she had. He had escaped under her watch.
There was a ton of people watching. Like, wasn't
there? He was under her care. Specifically her care. And he escaped while under her care.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he said she has no more, marks.
I just got the impression that she was kind of held to a higher standard, too.
I didn't see it. I saw the one that she's like the village idiot. Like she kept fucking up.
Well, no, because there was that one girl who clearly had it out for her too.
Yeah, that's true. So
maybe it's both.
Okay.
Anyway.
So yeah, the dog.
The dog. The dog. And then you like John and David.
Yeah, they were fun.
Okay.
They needed more.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite scene?
Yeah, probably towards the end when they're running and John jumps off and decides, nah, I'm not running anymore. And he sends them off and he tries to send the dog away. The dog's like, fuck no. You know how fast I am? And he just starts bolting around and John starts running toward him. The epic fight occurs.
They had this really melancholy fight scene. Because he had been holding on to his wife and his kid for so long, mm-hmm. and he'd been harboring all this resentment and rage.
He just wanted his gold. Now he's like, you know what? I'm done.
There's this silent fight where it's only juxtaposed with the memories of him burying his family.
Yeah.
And you see Willa just booking it around.
Yeah, just and he is just chomping on things.
He gets through most of the bad guys.
Yeah, he does. It's most an entire horde. Yeah. It was a horde of bad alien ones.
Bad alien guys.
I thought they're
other Thark colonies.
That was confusing.
Yeah.
Anyway. So yeah, that was my favorite scene. I loved that.
That was
one.
Really, really interesting. That I think was where he whatever
finally realized like how much stronger he is. And
yeah.
He's like, you know what?
Well, I was also gonna say too, that's where the director really got his mix of like, this is a big action blockbuster, but also this movie's not a kid's movie, and it's it can appeal to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what are your notes? You got any other notes?
I got some notes. Yet? The first note was Barsoom talking about, you know, I was going to mention
there's like a ball that's moving around. Do you hear this?
No.
No? Okay.
No maybe ball. It's I Bailey can't. Playing. I mean, it's very dark, but whatever.
Anyway.
Then 1881, which was the first scene. I don't know why I'm taking took these notes first.
Yeah, I want to hear like discussion notes.
And it jumped into 1868. Oh, because that's when the kids showed up and they had gone to 1868. All right.
It's not a ball noise. It's the chair you're sitting on is just squeaking.
That's the chair.
That would be the noise. Okay.
Lazy monster dog. Oh, nope. Super fast monster dog.
Yep.
Dope monster dog. Then my next note was white apes are crazy cool. Also with the multiple arms, four arms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, two is multiple. But yeah, also had four arms, but they were giant and super strong as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not strong enough for John Carter, though. That was fun. That was a cool scene.
That was a cool fight.
I liked how he just cut through the whole beast.
Mm-hmm. There was someone who did an, actually, if a white ape's blood is blue, then the inside of his mouth should also be blue. Why is the inside of his mouth red?
Huh.
And I was just like, have fun not enjoying anything, ever. You dick. Go ahead, continue. I could go on forever about internet dicks.
I liked towards the end when he challenges the new leader of the Tharks.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, right, this is right after you fought
the white
ape. And the guy's like, challenge accept, and he jumps down pretty much, and then he's dead.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Before doesn't even hit like, the ground, and John's like sliced.
I challenge you. Who will lend me their metal? The entire audience pulls out their swords. So the guy who's in charge, who had tried to kill the previous guy, who we like, Willem Dafoe, was almost killed by Thomas Hayden Church. So Thomas Hayden Church's guy jumps down, and he beheads him mid-jump.
Yeah, it's not even a fight. It's just dead.
It's a, yeah.
I wrote my note, literally says, challenge accept dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a pun master.
And then there's a part where they're now fighting on the airships and she falls and he sees her fall and he just leaps this giant jump and he catches her in the air and her eyes smoldering with like the total doomy sex eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
They had fuck me eyes.
That tension was like, boo, they're going to get it. Oh.
They had fuck me eyes the whole movie.
And then they're fighting the Thurn, whatever, the god thing.
Yeah.
And it turns into her. And she's like, hey, I'm getting away.
Yeah. I'm getting away.
That was fun. And then he gets away.
Yeah.
And then, what was it? So, I guess a few years go by after that point. I'm not sure. Some time goes by, and he decides he's not going to go back to Earth.
It's not even very much time. I think it's supposed to be like
a few days, maybe.
Yeah, like a week.
So, he tosses his medallion.
Which was stupid.
It was stupid, and right after he tosses it,
the Thurn shows up and sends him back to
Earth. Gets him sent back to Earth, and now he's like, shit, well, now I'm stuck on Earth. So, that's when, like, he spends the next 10 years with, he gets his gold, I guess, that he's been harboring for.
Well, the cave is full of gold.
Oh, is that the same cave?
Yeah.
Okay. So he goes back for his gold, and then he uses that gold to search the world for medallion. It takes him 10 years, but he finally finds a medallion.
Not really.
Oh, you're right. He didn't find the medallion. It took him 10 years, but didn't find it, but he set a trap.
Ow!
He set a trap for really the god, the Thurn.
Yes.
And he makes it think that he found the medallion and went back to Mars. So when the nephew goes to open, you know, right.
The crypt.
Protect his body at all costs. He's going to try to get the medallion.
Him.
So
being
yeah,
really
he
bratty right now.
When the Thurn shows up, he pops out and kills him.
Yep.
And gets a medallion, goes back, and then back to Barsoom, back to Mars.
Back to Mars. Yep.
That's, yeah, last of my notes. That was fun.
Your notes are always just like, what did I just watch?
Yeah.
There's never any discussion points. Like, you never want to talk about the cinematography of a movie.
You know, that kind of goes over my head, I guess.
Yeah, it does for now. Yeah. You'll get better.
I suppose.
That's the one thing I would say that Mandy's got you beat on is we did theater stuff together, so she looks at acting and costuming and sets and lighting.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Looks at all that.
Yeah.
And you're just like, yep, that was a movie I watched. So why do you think I like this movie? Because you know I'm typically not a spacey, I'm not a sci-fi type person.
You know, it was a surprise to
me,
actually.
From the number of times I tell you, fuck off, I'm not playing Mass Effect.
No, it did surprise me. Now. Even though you really need to play that. Ares, anyway. No, this one kind of did surprise me. You're not your usual, mm-hmm. you know, put on. But it's a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like super spectacular. Slow in scenes, a bit long. But yeah, it builds an interesting world.
Mm-hmm.
It's based off a book series, mm-hmm. and you're a book, you know, lover.
Yep.
I can see how, you know.
I am all about world building. That's really number one, the fact that they didn't just be like, oh, well, we're on Mars and we're just.
No, they put Marsians. A backstory to it.
There was a whole thing. And
language and everything.
And, like, there was so much of it that it was overwhelming to the people who were watching this movie.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Dragon Age, where there's, like, for the 2 hours that we saw this movie, there's 10 hours of world building. Minimum,
yeah.
You know, I like that. And then I'm very story-driven. So I liked that this was a man who basically survived a civil war. He fought on the Confederate side. I don't know if you caught
that. Oh, I didn't catch that.
He fought on the Confederate side for Virginia. He gets a chance at another civil war to be on the right side. And there's a big... This movie is really... In its fundamental core, is it's John Carter leaving Earth and becoming John Carter from Mars. As someone who makes good decisions and informed mm-hmm. decisions and stands up for what he believes in and cares about people.
Yeah.
So, I liked that. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Barnum is, like, playing on our laps.
Right yeah, now. He Ow! Is a feisty puppy right hey. Now.
Ow.
Hey, watch it with those choppy chompers.
Right? Choppy chompers. So, anyway, we watched Out, Spaceballs.
Okay, enough.
And we watched John Carter.
Yeah, we did. I'm still sticking with Spaceballs.
You would rather see a Spaceballs
2? I'd rather see a Spaceballs 2 than a John Carter 2.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'd rather just read the books for John Carter. Spaceballs 2, it's not going to happen. They're not going to get books out of it. If I want to read more, if I want to actually see more of John Carter 2,
mm-hmm.
I'd just go into the books.
Right.
Where the story building, I'm sure, is way better than the movie did.
Right, so you're kind of proving my argument a little bit, is that you want more John Carter.
You want more in the movie form, which didn't do it right.
You're saying not necessarily in the movie form, but you want more of it. I don't need more Spaceballs.
No.
One Spaceball is enough.
I don't need more John Carter, but I think Spaceballs would be super fun and entertaining while another John Carter. It's just not needed.
Look how many amazing science fiction
films are already out there. They don't need another half-assed attempt.
They don't need another Spaceballs.
When's the last time you saw another spoof one?
Antiquated.
Uh-uh. No way. Ow! We need that kind of humor in these days. We need to go back to the good old days. Well, not the good old days, but the old-fashioned type humor sometimes.
We need to go back to times when people made, I was wrong. Let me do the right thing this time.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I'd like to see them get another chance. But maybe not with this movie setup. I think he needs another chance to be something different. Something new.
Okay, but so you're suggesting like a whole reboot of John Carter.
Maybe,
as opposed to a sequel.
Probably. It needs to be redone. The first one wasn't done well enough.
I still argue that you don't need more Spaceballs. That it would be fun.
Disagree.
It would be fun. Don't get me... Listen.
Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money.
It would be fun.
It's gonna happen.
But it wrapped up everything. There are no loose ends. That's
not true. He's a prince. You gotta find out about his parents.
Why? It wasn't important.
Well, it is, though.
You're not, you have to,
it's gonna we find
to,
more money.
We have to work together. You can't just be like, well, I pick mine and that's
it. The search
it.
For more money. You're it not, was in the movie.
You're not doing this right.
That's not fair.
You want me to vote? You've already made it clear that you're not voting for John Carter.
I mean, it was okay. I didn't love the movie. I liked my movie more.
You have a valid... That's not how this works. You have to vote by the category first. You agree?
I thought my movie fit the category better, too.
How? I want to hear how. I voted that my movie fit the category better, but listen...
So much material to work off of.
You had a good argument.
It's supposed to be a spoof movie. And think of like how scary movie, how many scary movies there were. I know they got a bit old after a while. That's not true, necessarily.
They're all terrible.
They're terribly funny. You're right.
Spaceballs is arguably the only good parody movie.
That can't be true. People like parody movies just because you're way too pretentious to enjoy a parody movie.
They're bad. They're purposely bad.
They're yes. That's the point.
You can do parody well. I want to see the Weird Al of parody movies.
That's who Mel Brooks is.
You need to relax, my
man. Mel Brooks is the Weird Al of parody movies.
You know what? I'm going to give it to you just for Mel Brooks.
Oh.
And mostly because I'm sick of fighting with you and you don't understand the rules.
Babe.
This isn't a victory for you. This is a victory for Mel Brooks. All right? I want to make it very clear. Arguing with you is like
I'll take what I can get.
This is episode... This is
stop biting me.
This is episode 51, Mandy. Where it's I picked Unforgiven, which Mandy's gonna be so pissed that I'm bringing this up again. Arguably a better movie than her movie choice, and she decided I don't really care for westerns. I won't vote for it. No argument. No, I don't like
I have an argument.
Can't ever. Yeah,
your
argument is just my movie was more fun than your movie.
No, I honestly think it had a better production, you know, better like setup for the story. You know, I think yes, John Carter is interesting and I like sci-fi a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I like the whole world building. I like the aliens, like, you know,
but
I want to see more.
You had a good point that this movie, maybe not a sequel, maybe a reboot. Maybe seeing more of John Carter as a TV show or a miniseries.
They can't sequel this one because it flops so bad. They need to redo it so it has a better chance to keep going.
So that is why I'm giving it to Mel Brooks, not you.
Fine.
But I will let you pick the category for next week. Pick it out of the jar. Pick wisely because you only get one. We're picking it on the air.
Oh, God. Watch it be one I've already pulled. Movie reference in another movie.
So now you're going to pick one movie that they referenced in Spaceballs?
That's going to be a tough one. I can't really think of movies.
It doesn't
that
necessarily
reference.
Have to be a major thing.
It's going
to
be like a lot of them's going to be not necessarily like fourth wall breaking.
Kind of. There's a movie that I'm thinking of and I can't remember what the movie's called. Someone will know, I'm sure, where they talk about Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
So I can make you watch Pulp Fiction.
Seen it.
But that's an example.
Got it.
I saw Pulp Fiction, and I could handle all of it until he had to jab the needle into her chest, and I was like, nope, turn off, I'm done. No.
It's an early one. All right, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Looks like we're going to have to figure out what movie references in the movie.
Yeah. It'll be fine. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of
Thanks,
Movie
everyone.
Too. Thank you to Mandy, who is wonderful and lovely.
We love you, Mandy.
You'll be back soon. I know you will.
Thoughts and prayers.
I just hate that so much. But I want to thank Mandy for spurring this journey on and for trusting me to run this podcast for a month and not immediately turn it into something like that she would hate.
Yeah.
Like, she's placed a lot of trust in me and like, I can't fuck that up. She said something. Wow. I've been sleeping on the couch, bitch.
Oh, I'm gonna wake
she
up
said
dead.
Something like, oh, she's got a lot of fun things planned. I'm like, fuck, now I gotta think of fun things. Like, oh no, I didn't have fun things planned at all.
I love fun things.
Good.
Yeah, fun things are fun.
Fun things are fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a Bob's Burgers reference. You can follow our podcast. You can subscribe. We are on a ton of podcast platforms. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Our home base is Anchor FM. If you can go over there, you can leave us voice messages there so we can include your audio in our upcoming episode. So that's pretty fun. If you're subscribed to us somewhere like Apple Podcasts or even Facebook where you can rate and review, it would be really great if you left us a 5-star rating and a review. Please. It bumps us up in the algorithm so that I get happy that we're doing better and that more people are listening and we're spreading conversation.
And we get to keep bringing this wonderful show back to you guys.
Kyle hears me complain less.
Yay, so it really works really out well. Really a big bonus. Please, please, please.
Please, please, please. You can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter at @MeVersusYouPodcast. We're on Instagram at @MeVersusYouPod. Got a lot of fun things going on over there. And then our Patreon page is still up and running, even though Mandy typically is the one who takes care of that. I'll be dipping over there to do some kind of
check it out,
some kind of stuff. Just for $5 a month, you can have access to over 20 hours of bonus content, including video episodes.
It's like almost a whole day.
It is almost a whole day.
Yeah,
we have bonus episodes over there. We have video podcasts over there. We do early releases for things. Mandy does all of her fun stuff over there. So now I have to get the password back from her so that I can have
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's the password for my suitcase.
Well, it's amazing. It's the same password I use for my suitcase. What?
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Me Versus You. We will be back next week with movie referenced in another movie.
Bring it.
Bye.
Bye.
Don't mess around with the space balls. Watch out! Yeah.